Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
So I'm pulling out a name I usually save for Thanksgiving. I'm Jimmy Thankful. I am thankful that we have the Premier League and we get to enjoy it. And we get to enjoy it together, Michael, and have this podcast because this week it lived up to it. It lived up to the hype in every way.
Hashtag Jimmy Thankful. Yes. Yeah, I agree. I'm thankful for the Premier League, the fun matches that we've been having, especially this weekend, and that it's October overall. October is just a great month.
Yeah, I love October. I love the fall. I'm all in. It's spooky season. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I got purple lights around my room. We got the black sheets here. I'm living it up.
Purple lights, black sheets. That is terrifying. That's a spooky room.
It's a spooky room. That's how we do it. That's how we do it on the Mostly Soccer Podcast.
Yeah, October, we also...
Day of the Dead people, too. I'll send you a picture of them. They're chilling up here. They keep me safe.
Nice. October is also a great month for television, Jimmy. Succession comes back.
Oh, Succession's back. Oh, I'm so excited.
Can't wait. And Curb is back at the end of this month, too.
I did not know that. See, I'm behind on Curb. I love Curb, but I've just never had the time to catch up to all the episodes. So I do need to do that. But I am so excited for Succession. That was one of the best things you ever did recommending that show.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Anyone listening, get on it. Watch Succession. One last thing I want to talk about before we get into the soccer, Jimmy. So last week I had the anime suggestion, or not suggestion, confession more so. And this week, you don't even want to know what I bought yesterday.
Well, now I do want to know.
So this weekend, I went over Mike's because he always asked me to go every like once in a while for Magic Night. Magic the Gathering.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, you know, I got nothing to do, so I'll come by, I'll watch, I'll spectate. I end up playing. I end up dominating after like getting the most ridiculous cards, whatever. It's just complete luck. And so I kind of liked it. Went home yesterday, found out that I could just buy a few things for under $100 and be able to play fully. So I did. I needed that fire, that pack opening that I don't have playing FIFA anymore.
I was gonna say, this is FIFA withdrawals. You just needed something to open and get mad at.
It's true. And just like FIFA, I opened up like 10 packs yesterday and I got fucking nothing.
You're back in your wheelhouse. He's ready to go.
I literally just need something to gamble with at just like the lowest stakes possible. So I'm back in opening packs, Magic the Gathering. TBD if it continues to be a thing in my life, but we'll see. Anyways, Jimmy, we have lots to talk about. This weekend was electric. We had a clash of titans in City and Liverpool, Arsenal and Brighton and Hove Albion. We're going to talk about United and Everton. We're going to talk about Leicester and Crystal Palace. And we're also going to talk about Spurs and Villa. But before we get to that, too, one thing I just want to mention is Watford have sacked their manager. It only took 6 weeks into the Premier League season. We have our first manager sacked. Mm-hmm. It's not Mikel Arteta, thankfully. And rumors are that Claudio Ranieri is coming in to fill that vacancy.
I think it's past rumors at this point. The man is in. The man's ready to go. He's back again. I'm excited to see how it goes. I feel like he's bounced around a little bit since the Leicester days, but I'm excited to have him back. Just a peach of a man. And I'm really glad to have him back.
I am glad that I just remembered to post that picture of him. Remember when he signed for Roma as their new manager? Yes. And that close-up picture where he looks terrified?
Yes.
That will be the thumbnail for this episode on Twitter. now that I remembered that. So, yeah, I'm excited for that appointment. It will be much more intriguing to watch Watford play now. So, let's get right into the action, Jimmy. And the biggest weekend matchup, it was City 2, Liverpool 2, a game at Anfield that delivered the big game promise that we seldom ever get from big games. Yep. So, Jimmy, I don't know how we want to go through this, but I just want to say at the top, this was one of the best games I have watched in a long, long time.
Yeah, I would say this is one of the best games I've ever watched. This was phenomenal. The atmosphere, the goals, the intensity between the teams. You had everything. You had refereeing drama. You had spectacular individual goals. You had spectacular team goals. You had just anything you could ask for. This game had it. These are two titans of the last decade of the Premier League. And I know we spent a good deal of time talking about, you know, the improvements of Chelsea, United this season. These two teams have not gone anywhere. They're not going anywhere. I think I said for a long time that I still thought it was going to be them. I think I may have swayed with how well Chelsea were playing at the beginning of the year. But these two teams are just so damn good. They have their flaws, don't get me wrong, but they are so damn good.
Yeah, and this was like the Pep Klopp tactical matchup of like our dreams. And it was just a phenomenal game. We should say, just go through the goals. First half was scoreless. There were chances on both ends, but more so there was just an intense battle for that ball. It felt like 5 minutes of the game, City would have possession. 10 minutes, Liverpool. 10 minutes, City. And it would just go back and forth and back and forth. And that was just, it was phenomenal to watch. And then we had, I have a video starting on my phone as I try and go through it. We had Mane open up the scoring in the 59th. And that run from Mo Salah to set up that goal.
Yeah. After a very lackluster challenge by Joao Cancelo, who was the best player on the field in the first half and undeniably the worst player on the field in the second half. So just an interesting game for him. But a perfect run by Salah. This was an incredible Liverpool goal. This was Liverpool from 2 years ago. Salah, Mane doing what they do. The crowd erupting. This game was on from that moment on. It was just the intensity was already there in the first half. But once that goal was scored, this game went nuclear.
Went nuclear. I love that. And then Phil Foden scored in the 69th minute. Nice. Nice team goal. And puts one. Pretty sure it was top bins. Laser from the corner. I know that much. I don't
bottom.
Know if it went top bins.
No, bottom. He rolled it across. He rolled it across. But it was a rifle. Rolled it across is the wrong term. But it was across the back corner. After a great run by Gabriel Jesus, the reborn. Jesus has been reborn. As a winger, he is a dynamic player. Showed it again this game. Phil Foden, though, was a great game. Had a chance in the first half. He wasn't able to put away, but he was relentless. Liverpool, he was coming at them all game long.
Yeah, he toasted James Milner in that first half. It was pretty rough to be James Milner. And that chance that he wasn't able to finish off would have been one of the great assists of all time. Bernardo Silva made an incredible run. It felt like he beat the entire Liverpool team, passed it off to Phil Foden, and Foden couldn't get it past Allison, who did make a great save.
A Maradona-esque run.
Yeah, seriously. And speaking of James Milner, controversy in the second half with James Milner, should have been given a second yellow for a bad challenge on Bernardo. Somehow doesn't get that second yellow. And soon after, Liverpool go on to score a wonder goal.
Yeah, this was absurd. This was the most clear as day yellow card you've ever seen. I just don't I honestly think it's the impact of the crowd. I really
100%.
Do. 100%. That's the only justification I can come up with. And it's not a justification, but it's the only reasoning I can imagine that that's not given a yellow card. If this was in Manchester, same teams playing, it's a yellow card. If this is like any other place, any other stadium, it's a yellow card. Like, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I was, and then to see the goal right after, which we have to talk about the goal, but just that was just so frustrating.
Yeah. And Pep was irate on the sideline, as he should be. I mean, I'm a skeptic when it comes to any type of red card decision. I usually don't like it. That was really just clear as day. Milner should have been sent off. Second yellow, 100%. Liverpool got off very lucky there. And then soon after, one of the best goals I've seen in a long time. Mo Salah chopped up that City defense like nothing. Messi-esque run and finish. Unbelievable stuff from Mo Salah.
Yeah, that goal was an incredible goal. The finish from that angle to get the power on it to beat Ederson single-handedly. Just this was a complete individual goal. It was incredible. At that point, I think I texted you that I don't want to do the podcast this week. I was giving all the credit. I was saying that no one in the world is playing better than him right now, which I truly believe. But I said, I don't think I have it in me to do this podcast. But I was saved, Michael. My soul came back into my body.
Yes, shortly after. Theme of this game, shortly after, something always happens. Kevin De Bruyne levels it for City. Kind of a scramble in the box. Not really. It was kind of passes back and forth around the box, if I remember correctly. I don't remember who passed the ball to Kevin De Bruyne, but it ends up to him at the top of the box in that vintage finish that he did for Belgium over the summer against Denmark. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah, just a great team goal. Kyle Walker, who was everywhere in this game, I thought he had a great game. He literally was making runs into the box nonstop, just full on sprints all the way up and down the field. He's unreal, the fitness that he has to be able to do that. And then a great goal from there. We saw a couple chances each way, but if there was ever a game that deserved to be a draw, this game deserved to be a draw.
It's true. And what a match for the neutral. It was end to end, back and forth, tactical battle, incredible goals on both sides. Something that I do want to talk about, though, from a City perspective, though, Jimmy, Jack Grealish gets the hook in the 66th minute.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that?
So there's been, I feel like there's a lot talked about him, obviously being, you know, the British record transfer for an English player, all that. Are you going to have that? I don't think he was very good this game. I don't think this was his best game, nor was the game against PSG. But he has created the most chances for City this season. I think he's been very, very good, with the exception of these two games. I do think it was the right move, because I actually think with the exception of when I think there was maybe one or two moments when Sterling probably should have tried to score himself as opposed to look for the pass. Sterling was very good when he came on. His pace added something to the game. Liverpool looked a little more worried about the counter with him in. He's a little more, even though, again, he did make the pass, he's a little more direct at goal. Like, Grealish is more direct on the ball, but Sterling was playing more as a striker, where Grealish was still kind of working more as a false nine.
Yeah.
So I do think that it was the right move. I thought Sterling was very good when he came on. Almost set up a beautiful backheel goal. I just think it was the right move. It wasn't his best game. He'll have better games. I'm not worried in any way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's the question that you have to ask when someone moves for £100 million.
Yeah.
But Sterling played very well when he came on, and good sub. Pep usually leaves it late, but that was a good early ish sub for Pep. We did have some questions about City for you.
Mm-hmm. Can I say one thing first? We didn't mention Rodri.
Yes.
The game saving tackle. What a block. What Rodri, who has been like exceptional so far this season, has gone without being said. Someone who's often criticized, but it was very, very good last season and has been very good so far this season. I think people criticize him because he's not Fernandinho, but I think that's a standard that's just prime. Fernandinho was, I think, underrated for so long until people realized how good he was. And now it's like, it's just hard to find someone to live up to being that player. But Rodri was excellent in this whole game. He was very, very good, with the exception of the wayward pass that you do get from him every once in a while.
Yep. And that save was just the icing on the cake of just what was a phenomenal game. So questions about City. Our buddy Ryan Guerriere said, Jimmy, based on what we've seen in the past 2 months, do you prefer Laporte and Diaz or Stones and Diaz?
Okay, so this one for me is an easy one. You know what I'm going to say, Michael. You already know.
You prefer Laporte.
I prefer Laporte. I like John Stones a lot. I think John Stones is a great player. I think the turnaround he made last season was remarkable. I am more worried when I see John Stones than when I see Laporte in. Laporte is way more composed player on the ball for sure, and also off the ball. I just feel more confident with him that you're not going to have the silly mistakes that you occasionally get from John Stones. I think they're both great players. I think we'll see a rotation of them at some point. John Stones will get a chance to come in. Once he comes in, he will play more. But I'm sticking with Laporte. I mean, Diaz is incredible. You put anybody next to him, he's going to make them better.
Yeah.
But just this combination, the ability that Laporte has to pick a pass too, is just next level. So having these two together with Ederson is another threatening attack that City really need, still lacking that real number nine. So I definitely am Laporte over Stones. I'm going to guess you agree with me, Michael.
Yeah. You've
never been a big John Stones guy.
I mean, John Stones played well for a stretch last season. I'm definitely team Laporte here, though. I think that pairing is potentially the best in the league. Diaz and anyone, though, like you said, would probably be a good fit. Next question about City is from Remy Senpai. He said, what should City's midfield and front three be when everyone's fit? So what do you think the front three is?
So the front three, I think, is the front three from this game that started it. I think it's Foden, Grealish, and Jesus. I would put Grealish on the wing and Foden as the striker. I think Foden's a better finisher than Jesus or Grealish. And he's actually got some pace. So I would go with that front three. Ferran Torres has moments where you could argue he should be in there. When he's good, he's exceptional. We've seen the goals he can score, both for Spain and for City, that are remarkable. But he's just a little inconsistent. So that would be my front three. Would be Grealish, Foden, Jesus.
In the midfield?
De Bruyne, Silva, and probably, I really think it's this team. I think it's Rodri. And it's tough because then where's Gundogan play? Gundogan, who was undoubtedly City's best player last season outside of Diaz. Like, where does he play? It's hard to drop him. And you could maybe get me to say he can play over Bernardo, but the way Bernardo's played this season, I wouldn't drop him. So I would go with this exact team, Bernardo Silva, Rodri, and De Bruyne.
Yeah, I agree with the midfield. I like KDB, Rodri, and Bernardo Silva, or Gundogan. I think Bernardo would edge that out for me, though. That front three, though, that must be a headache for Pep every single week. Because Jesus has looked great whenever he's played on the wing. Mm-hmm. I still think I prefer Raheem Sterling, though. Like, for as much as I've made fun of Raheem Sterling on this podcast, like, I do think Raheem Sterling is a great player.
So do I, but I actually don't think Sterling's not the first person I look at going, how do I get him in, which is, it's Riyad Mahrez. Like,
yeah, that's true, too.
Like, it's hard. Mahrez is another player, almost like Torres. Like, when he's on, he's exceptional and can win you the game on his own when he's on. Certain games, he looks a little less interested and he can be a frustrating player, but it's hard to not play him. But it's like, for me, Jesus has to play, he has to play.
Yeah.
And then it's the other two, and I find it hard to play any of them over Foden. So then it just becomes, do you play Grealish or do you play Mahrez? And I'd probably pick Grealish just because I think his ability to draw fouls alone, it is very, very useful when you have players like De Bruyne who can hit a free kick. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, Mahrez is a good shout. I could see why he wouldn't start in a game like this, though, with the intensity.
He's not always the most energy going back. So that's probably the reason why he wouldn't start this one.
Yeah, and then I agree with Grealish out on the left, and I guess Foden in the middle. I mean, there's no good option for that middle spot, really. I really don't know. I guess Foden. I'll take your word for it that he's a good finisher. I mean, I've seen him score, but like...
He is a very good finisher. I mean, he has a hell of a shot on him. I mean, the point is, this team does not have there's no elite finisher on this team. I would I genuinely think it's between him and De Bruyne of who is actually the best finisher, and I think it's probably Foden.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
maybe Gundogan question. With a shout on that too.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. all right. Good shouts there. Good questions. But again, if you haven't watched that game, please go watch the highlights. Marvel at Mo Salah and his ability. Last question about this game, Jimmy. Is Mo Salah the best player in the world currently?
Yes.
I agree.
I can't. I want to deny it, but I can't. He's playing out of his mind.
And the thing about Mo Salah is he isn't just playing out of his mind right now. It's just like he's been doing this for 3 years now.
Yep.
And has kind of gone under the radar.
I don't think he's gone under the radar.
Not gone under the radar, but like...
But I just think is he's continued to play at this level where the competition has tailed off ever so slightly.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's I kind of tweeted that. I said not really that there's any debate on or competition on who's in that discussion right now, because both Messi and Ronaldo are kind of they're not at that level of Messi and Ronaldo typically.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to be a Mo Salah type player now. But anyways, Jimmy, let's talk about a game that was definitely not as exciting, but still a good one and a draw. It was Arsenal 0, Brighton and Hove Albion 0. Arsenal went away to the Amex and they came away with a point after demolishing Spurs last weekend. So some things about this game that I have here, just Arsenal started with the same 11 as they did versus Spurs, minus Granit Xhaka, who's out for looks like a few months at this point with some knee issues. Sambi Lokonga came in for him. And then after that, I mean, it was kind of a, I don't want to say a back and forth game because I do think Brighton were the better side. Pretty clearly, they had a couple of chances where they could have scored, and they did not finish. The Brighton of last year came to play, thankfully. And Arsenal had a few chances on the counter. Smith Rowe had a really great chance in the second half. You know, these Arsenal youngsters, Saka and Smith Rowe, two phenomenal players. They carry the team, but they can't finish. Neither one of them can finish. It's really frustrating. And I mean, Arsenal, they escaped with the point. Ramsdale continues to get the start over Bern Leno. I think there's a story there. And then my last point here is just that Ben White finally had a great game. I thought Ben White was the man of the match.
Yeah, he was very good. He just needed to go home.
Yeah, literally. Feel
back in his element. He was very good. And the save by Ramsdale, with Maupay bearing down on him, getting ready for the tap-in. Just phenomenal. I thought he was excellent again. I think he is firmly the number one now. I really don't think it should be a debate. He has been phenomenal. To your point, Arsenal had a lot of chances. Brighton had a lot of chances. Neither team could really couldn't get enough to get it over the line. Not a bad result for either team. Brighton have been very good this year. Getting a point away for Arsenal is a good point. And Arsenal have looked a lot better over the last few games, so I think it's a solid point for Brighton as well. I think both teams would be content with this one.
Yeah, I agree. And the weather that they had in Brighton for that game was like a hurricane over there, it looked like. So they had that to contend with. Better point for Arsenal, I guess. It's hard to say that going away to Brighton. But how good Brighton are playing this season, coupled with the conditions, I'm happy with the point against Brighton. I mean, I do see signs of improvement in the Arsenal team. Although we didn't score a goal, there are signs of building on that Tottenham performance in this game, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I want to say too, and I may not pronounce his name correctly, but Cucurella. Araya, whatever it is,
yes, Araya, yes.
Was very, very good. The curly locked man. I thought he was very good in this game. I definitely think he adds a little creativity to Brighton that they may have been lacking before. So I think he was a very good low key addition.
Yeah, and Pascal Gross is looking good so far this season. Where did that come from? The man hit like six Cruyff turns in a row. I was like, what is going on here? But yeah, Brighton are a good side. They're in sixth place, tied in fifth with Everton, actually. I guess the question is, where do you think Brighton finished this season, Jimmy?
So I think Brighton, I am going to put them in the 8 to 10 range. And I feel like that still might be a little high just as the season goes on. But I do think they're a very solid team. They're a team that really doesn't have a lot of, haven't had a lot of change. Obviously, they lose Ben White, but I think they have a very good manager. I think they have a solid team. I think they have consistency in their lineup and within the team as a whole. So I do think they finished top half. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think they finish above Brentford?
Yes.
And what about Leeds?
Yes.
Mm. All right.
I think they're better. I think they're playing better. I think Leeds have more talented players, but I think that Brighton are just, they're playing better. And they're, I mean, they're a solid team. I think they're definitely better than Brentford. Brentford have been in phenomenal, but I'm hard pressed to believe Brentford are going to do this all year.
Yeah.
And I think Brighton will dip a little, and I think Leeds are going to get a lot better than they've been. But I'm, for now, already on 14 points. I'm gonna say they do.
All right. Still early in the season, but I'm inclined to agree with you. I think Leeds will probably be closer to them than Brentford will. Speaking of Leeds, they got their win this weekend. We're not going to cover Leeds, but we should say they got the Watford manager sacked and they got a W. So go on, Leeds. Next game we'll talk about here is United 1, Everton 1. This was actually a great game towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just need to start straight up front with the lineups, Jimmy. What the hell is Ole doing? No CR7, no Paul Pogba. And probably rightly no Sancho, but to bench CR7 at home, to bench Paul Pogba in favor of Fred, feels a little bit crazy to me.
Well, and no Jesse Lingard, who's also playing well.
Yeah.
Just surprising, definitely a surprising lineup to say the least. I think they paid for it in the end.
Bizarre.
Odd. Also, I do like the new bald Tony Martial. Looks like a new man. He looks like, I don't know, he looks mean, looks angry now.
Yeah, he also looks old. I feel like he's still like 22, but he's like definitely 26, 27 at this point.
Yeah, I want to look that. He's 25. There's All no right. way he's 25. Nah. That man has been in his 20s for 20 years.
He was the wonder kid. It's not quite worked out for him. He would get his goal today, though. We'll get to it. And on the opposite end, I think United were trying to match up with Everton man for some reason. Everton with a depleted squad. They had no Richarlison, no Iwobi, and they started Salomon Rondon up top.
Yes, they did.
Also, that is because there's no Dominic Calvert-Lewin at the moment. Rondon gets the start. And I mean, they looked good. Everton looked good throughout
they
this game.
Very good.
I mean, both sides had chances early in the first half. And then in the 43rd minute, like we said, Martial got his goal. A fantastic turn on the ball from Bruno. Lays it off for an assist to the left. Martial spanks the ball home.
Yeah. Rocket.
Missile. Great goal. And then going into halftime, it looked like, or it felt like at least, that United would probably hold on to get a win here. Everton then come back in the second half in the 65th minute with a stunning counterattack. They don't get much better than that, Jimmy. Damari Gray sprints up the left side, beats a few people, passes it off to Decore, and then Andros Townsend, your boy, Jimmy.
Yes, finishes. He's back. He is back, and he is doing the Ronaldo celebration at Old Trafford. Oh, my God.
That moment blew my mind. I literally... like, my jaw hit the floor. Townsend scores, which is already shocking enough. And then for him to have the audacity away at Old Trafford to hit the CR7C celebration, absolutely incredible.
It was one of the best moments of the year. We're not going to top that. That was just, that was dynamic, to say the least.
That was my favorite.
I loved it. I want to say, though, Damari Gray, what he's talk about reborn. He is a new man. The promise that was there all those years ago is finally coming to fruition. He has been phenomenal this season. Townsend as well. What a signing both of them have been for a combined like 1 point something million that it costs to bring both of them in. And Everton, what business they did.
Yeah, and like, Rafa is looking like a the right manager for them so far.
Yeah, what a signing all around. Everton, great business. Great business. I'm happy because we were a bit worried for them when, you know, when Carlo Ancelotti left, it looked like things were kind of going to be in shambles, and they've really recovered very well.
Yes. Yep. And later in that game, Everton would score and then it would be disallowed. Poor Yaramina. What a nice guy. What a shame that had to happen to him.
I don't get why this was disallowed. Can I say? I watched this like four times and I'm like, he wasn't ahead of the ball. I don't agree with that.
It's that stupid rule where it's like, even though I think it was Tom Davies had beat the Manchester United defense, Yaramina was still ahead of him.
And but so I don't think technically he was. I don't know. I thought it was dicey. I know it was Yaramina, so you didn't want to see that ball go in the net regardless of that.
No, I did want to see it go in because it was against United, but I think it is offsides. I mean, that rule is kind of difficult. It's like that's a goal that happens to you in FIFA and then it's disallowed. Just because it's just like, I don't know. It's like a nothing rule and then it's there to take away goals.
Yeah.
I did think that Davis should have shot though.
Yeah, I agree with that, but still, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with it, but this is a very good result for Everton.
Yeah, and they sit in fifth place now. They've had a good start to the season. I mean, and the biggest win for them, like you said, is just their signings are looking phenomenal. Damari Gray, probably man of the match this game again.
Though it is, as per usual, for Everton to start the season well. That is what we've become accustomed to the last couple of years, and it usually doesn't go well from there, so we'll see how it turns out.
Ain't that the truth? So I do want to ask you, Jimmy, a lot of United fans are not happy with Ole, made some questionable decisions with his lineup in this match. They haven't been doing great in the Champions League. Do you think that Ole lasts at United? Through this season, I'll say.
Through this season, yes.
Mm.
I think he's in for this season. I don't think they make a move at all. I think he's in for this season. Depending on how the season goes, could they potentially move on in the offseason? Absolutely. I mean, I feel like this is like the thing we said before, Pochettino. Like, Conte is out there. Like, he doesn't have a team. If you look at this team, this is like the perfect team for him, with the exception of the fact that I'm sure him and Ronaldo would literally kill each other at some point. Yeah. But with the exception of that, he has everything he needs in a team. Physical, big defensive players, midfielders that can boss the field, good attacking fullback in Shaw, not so much in Juan Bissaka, but still, they have Alex Telles as well. Like, this team is in many ways tailor-made to play his system. I just think, like, that's such a no-brainer. Like, you should be going for him. Every team in the world should be going for him, with the exception of like PSG, Chelsea, Liverpool, and City. Like, if you don't have one of those like four managers, you should be going for Conte. I don't know how more teams aren't.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, PSG lost today, by the way, 2-0 to Rennes. Yes. So maybe they should be looking for Antonio Conte. But yeah, I don't know how to feel. You know, I'm not a fan of Ole. I don't think he does anything. I think his team is just very, very strong. And with a different manager, I do think that they could go up to that next level that they need to. Do I think he lasts through the season? Probably. I think he probably does. But after that, I don't know. If they go on a bad run, though, if they like lose three games in a row or something like that, I think Ole is already a little bit on the hot seat. So will be interesting to see.
It definitely is going to be interesting, but I don't think he's gone. I disagree on this. I don't think he is this year.
All right. And then the Jadon Sancho dilemma. He looked good when he came on for that short period. Is that just an Ole decision to not play? play him as much, or is Jadon Sancho not this groundbreaking talent that we saw in the Bundesliga?
So I'm going to say the same thing I said about Ben White. It's hard to just jump into a new league. Well, not new league. Ben White, not new league. But you get my point. It's hard to move to a new team. It's hard to play a new system, changes, all of that. I really do think you need to give players minimum at least a season to gel. I think Jadon Sancho is a phenomenal talent. I'm sure he will end up becoming a great player for them. It's just going to take time. I wouldn't panic. Like, I think if people are panicking about him, it's stupid. He needs time. I mean, with the way Mason Greenwood's playing, you're not dropping him. You could argue he should have played over Martial, but Martial scored the goal, so, like, not necessarily a bad decision there to play him. So he'll get his minutes eventually. I think he will end up being good. It's just going to take time. I wouldn't overreact if you're a United fan. It's fun to watch them overreact, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, you should be overreacting about Donny van de Beek literally not seeing a minute ever in a Manchester United shirt.
Yeah, he needs to move. Like, he's too good a player.
That's a really bad one.
He really needs to move.
That's actually sad. Like, van de Beek had an incredible time at Ajax and then just went to United and just doesn't play. Bizarre. But anyways, Jimmy, let's move on. Spurs 2, Villa 1. Spurs finally break their losing streak. They don't concede 3 goals in this one. Congratulations, Tottenham Hotspur. In the 27th minute, Højbjerg scores a goal off a Sun assist. And then next half, Villa score a goal. Ollie Watkins gets a goal. Villa with a great play, assist for Target. And then shortly after that, Ronaldo, who had a phenomenal game in this one, as he normally does, made a great run, hits it across the middle for Lucas Moura, and it ends up being given as an own goal for Target. And, I mean, Spurs go on to win 2-1. Harry Kane, still no goals, but played well in this one.
Yeah, Spurs were much better in this match than they've been. Still gave up a goal and still gave up quite a few chances to Villa. Like, Villa were in this game. They had their chances. I Son was phenomenal. I have to say, it's like my main takeaway is just how good Son is. Like, I know all the talk was about Harry Kane this offseason. Maybe some should have been more paid to Son, who actually was on the last year of his deal and probably could have been had if people had tried a bit earlier. So Spurs are fine. That's like, this was my takeaway from this game, is like, they're fine. They're just, they're not great. I don't think Nuno's great. Like I said last week, I don't think he's great. They're going to be fine. I think they'll finish top six just based off of talent alone. They're fine. Villa, not like, not a bad game. Like, I actually thought Villa looked good. Like, they had won their last two. I thought they looked good. I think they've been better over their last few games. So I wouldn't be that worried if I was a Villa fan. Obviously, they come off the win against United and the beatdown they had against Everton. So I think their season's looking up. And I think they were good in this one. I really think they kind of deserved the draw, really. But, you know, Son does what Son does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overly impressed by Spurs. I've been impressed with Villa this season and last season. They're a good side, I think. Like you said, a draw probably would have been a more fair result, but it comes down at some times to that individual brilliance that you get from a player like Son. So Spurs back on track. The Sack Nuno Brigade is silenced for another match. I don't know who Spurs have coming up next. I know we have an international break soon. Actually, this next weekend, unfortunately. Yeah. But I think going into that with a win will be big for them, especially after they had lost 3 on the trot so badly. Yeah.
They have a pretty good one to continue winning, playing Newcastle when they come.
All right.
Back, so.
All right. So Spurs will be fine for the foreseeable future. We won't need to put them in crisis mode just yet. And then the last game we're going to cover here is Palace 2, Leicester 2. We haven't talked about Leicester, but there's a problem there, Jimmy. They go up by 2 against Palace in the first half. 2 goals in quick succession. Iheanacho in the 31st off a mistake from Anderson of Crystal Palace. And then in the 37th off a mistake from Anderson from Crystal Palace. they go up 2, and then in the second half, they blow their lead. And it ends 2-2. What is going on with Leicester?
So this game was a sloppy mess. All four goals were just disgusting. They were all disgusting goals. They really were. There's no other way to put it. There was not one good goal scored.
Hey, like, that Palace goal was a volley. It was cool. Olise.
Olise. Olise, yeah. Whose shot was blocked directly into the defender, just happened to bounce back to him. Just rather lucky. I mean, Leicester looked good in the first half. They looked threatening. They looked like Leicester. They looked like their usual self. And then things just went south for them. Palace, I mean, I've been so impressed with Palace. I it's hard to criticize Leicester too much on that. But this is, you know, it's a pattern at this point. They're coming off two draws and two losses in their last four. They just don't look right. That's the way I can put it.
Something's wrong with them.
Yeah. And I think what's wrong is just the injuries they've had at defense. I mean, they've lost so much of their, like, crucial defenders are not there. So, I mean, I know the other game they were talking about, like, oh, they brought in Vestergaard because of the injury to Johnny Evans. But it's like Johnny Evans is not the only one they've lost. Like, they lost Wesley Fofana, who was one of the bright stars of last season.
Yep.
They lost James Justin as well, who is another great, like, breakthrough player last year. So they're down really three of their top defenders. So it's hard to continue to succeed in that case.
Yeah.
So I'm not really that surprised that they're struggling.
I mean, I'm surprised in a game like this, though, where you go up 2-0 and then you can't figure out a way to defend that lead. And this isn't new for them this season. They've been in games, they've been scoring goals, and they've just been also leaking them. And it's not new when you look back at the past seasons where Leicester have played so well, and then towards the end of the season, something just happens to go wrong and they start losing games and dropping points where they really shouldn't. I think this Leicester team might have a mentality problem, or are they just get in ruts or slumps and then they can't dig themselves out of it fast enough.
It's like a bizarre thing,
but I think it might be real.
I will say, too, it's kind of odd that James Maddison has not been starting these games. He has come on a bit, but just a little odd after, you know, all the links away, specifically to Arsenal this summer. Yeah. And then also, I do think it's kind of odd that a lot of people, including myself, were very excited about passing Daka, and we've not really got to see much of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, Iheanacho and Vardy are both in contention for that same spot, so that's a tough spot to break into.
Yeah, no, I agree. I hope we do get to see him, though, because I really do think he's an exceptional talent. I want to see what he can do.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure before this weekend, they had actually lost in the Europa League to, like, Ligue Warsaw from Poland.
Yeah, I think you are right, and I'll confirm that, but I believe you are right.
Yeah, so Leicester are going through a bit of a rough patch. Will be interesting.
1-0.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they can dig out of it. And I know we do have an international break this next week, so we're going to have to preview outwards to October 16th, Jimmy.
Okay.
And I guess we should start with Leicester, because they play Manchester United.
So that's a tough one. I will say, we know Vardy loves a goal against big teams, so I'm going to think they get one. I'm going to go a 1-1 draw, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think this might be a draw as well. I'll stick with you on 1-1 there. And then earlier on that same Saturday, 7:30 a.m., we have Watford and Liverpool. Potentially Claudio Ranieri's Watford.
Yes. But not enough to beat Liverpool. I'm going to go 3-0 Liverpool.
Wow, I had the same score there too. 3-0 Liverpool. We're 2-for-2. Villa and Wolves.
I'm going to go Villa in this one. 2-1 Villa. I do want to say the ball scored two goals this weekend.
Yes,
and
he
very
did.
Good.
I think this one's actually going to be a fun one. I'll go 3-2 Villa. I hope the Bull continues to get his goals. And then City and Burnley.
So Burnley have been bad. I hate playing Burnley, but I think City have been actually pretty beating up on Burnley when they play them. I'm going 4-0 City.
Yeah, 5-0. I'm gonna go one above you. City almost always beat them by five, it feels like. And then we have Norwich and Brighton.
Brighton 1-0.
I'll go 2-0 Brighton. Norwich are in rough shape, and they're going to continue to be in rough shape. Todd Cantwell, get your move. Southampton and Leeds.
I'm going to go 1-1 draw.
This feels like a draw. I'll go 2-1 Leeds, though. Hope that Leeds can build on their victory. Brentford and Chelsea.
Chelsea 3-1. Brentford have been so good, but I just think they're going to be outmatched in this one.
You know, we didn't talk about Chelsea today, but Chelsea have, as I'm burping, they've been through a little bit of a lull these past few weeks. They almost drew Southampton. The score line was 3-1, but they almost drew Southampton. They left it late, scored two late goals. I don't know. I think Brentford might tie them here. I'm going to go 2-2.
Bold.
Hope that
I like
Brentford
it.
Continue. And then on Sunday, we have Everton versus West Ham.
This is one I want to see. Looking forward to this one. I am going to go actually 2-1 West Ham coming off the loss to Brentford. I think they bounce back.
I think this is a 2-2 draw. Newcastle versus Spurs.
2-0 Spurs. Newcastle are bad.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1 Spurs. I think Newcastle will at least score one. And then on Monday, the last game of that week is Arsenal versus Palace.
So I did say that it would be so Arsenal to not be able to beat Brighton after beating Spurs. I do think they beat Palace. Palace have been good, but I'm going to go a 2-1 Arsenal win.
Yeah, I think Palace are going to give us more of a game than we would really want. If we were away, I would be more hesitant to pick Arsenal to win. But we're at home, and the home support for Arsenal and away has been incredible this season. I'll go 2-1 Arsenal. And that'll do it for us, Jimmy. So I'm assuming we're going to take the international break week off.
Unless something happens that we have to come and talk to everyone.
Something insane.
Michael finds a new thing he wants to get into. Yeah. We have to share.
I open up packs for Pokemon next week instead of Magic.
Pokemon pod.
Yes. And aside from that, Jimmy, why don't you hit him with the plugs?
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. You can email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We love them as much as we love that City Liverpool game. So please, please, please leave them. Leave a lot of them.
Leave us a 5-star review, damn it. And interact with us on Twitter. We like that. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.